Good afternoon to everyone, and welcome to you on the webcast. Hello to Marie, if she's out there. Dom, any of our friends in the Caribbean, we welcome you to our services today. We have people from Canada, Oregon, Washington, Maine, that tune in to watch our services here. So we welcome all of them. And hearing that announcement about availability of more coming to France made me wonder how many of you young fellas have passports. I hear the French women are pretty good. You got passports? No. You're single? You got money? You could share a room? Ideas, just ideas. Which brings me to travel. I have a friend. He lives in Aruba, and his name is Willie. Willie Nash, he's from the continent. He knows quite a bit about his homeland, being Dutch, but also being from areas, having lived in Switzerland and so forth. He's a very interesting fella. He sent me a picture this week. We trade emails, and he had one laying in his hammock on the back porch, smiling at me, kind of baiting me, why don't you come over here to Aruba, have a good time in the hammock. You've got one reserved for you, Chuck. So we trade emails, and about once a week we write to each other. And I want to read a few of his messages and my messages to him that we exchanged during this last month. I wrote to him about a month ago again and asked him, how are you doing? And made mention of Dr. Burkle, who was going to be on the neighboring island of Curaçao. And he knows Dr. Burkle, as Dr. Burkle's gone there for some of our church services from time to time. And he writes back then, thank you for your mail and for remembering me. I also think about you once in a while, and then request God to give you good health. I myself am fine, and my Aruban family is also. In Switzerland, my brother and mother have died this last year. But here we have two grandchildren. Since our first daughter, the psychologist, now has a boy, and you remember meeting him, now she also has a baby girl. We take care of the little girl 3 days a week, and the boy is with us every weekday. And so they have care with their family. And also we take care of the boy on Mondays and Tuesdays. I still make those baked Alaska cakes. In the evenings and weekends, I'm always reading or listening to sermons. How many of you know what a baked Alaska is? A few of you. It's a special dessert. He was a pastry chef, and he spent a lot of time in the resorts around Aruba, and then he got onto a cruise ship and was a pastry chef on a ship. It's almost a tongue twister. I better stop right there. When he was doing this, he finally decided he needed to settle down. He'd married a native from Aruba, and so he retired. And when he retired, he opened up a little shop in the back of his house. And he started a business of making baked Alaska. So he's a rather unique in that sense. Baked Alaska usually has vanilla ice cream in the middle. Well, he lives in a land where there's also good chocolate from Europe. So sometimes he uses chocolate ice cream. And because he lives in an area where there are various fruits, he sometimes uses pineapple coconut ice cream in the middle, sometimes mango ice cream. He becomes very creative and can customize anybody's baked Alaska. But he goes on and says, unfortunately, my wife still isn't interested in anything other than the Catholic religion. After years of quarreling, we don't even discuss religion anymore. Now, my two daughters are a bit open to Church of God views, but probably it's my own fault. I was not very articulate and cannot explain things well, but I pray and work on it. Especially hard to sell, quotes, are God's holy days. As you know, in Aruba we have many Sabbath keepers, but to observe the seven high Sabbaths instead of the Catholic holidays is totally unknown except for in the Jewish community. The Good News magazine is very helpful, and I distribute it to my neighborhood with some shops in town. I know the people are reading it because all articles there do help their understanding. But to actually leave their accustomed religious systems would take a miracle. I do wonder if there are any new subscribers or requests from people here on Aruba. Now, wishing you and your family a wonderful Sabbath, your friend Willie. So I wrote him back. Hi, Willie. Have you had any visits and seen anybody on the island? Are you still getting the good newses and passing them around? How many copies do you receive? So, your daughters are more inclined to listen to dear old Dad with his religion? That is better than it could be. A Roman Catholic background that is well established with all the symbolism and chanting is hard to shake. It makes a Catholic feel good. That is what religion is supposed to be, they think. To me, the knowledge of the covenants, God's promises to mankind, is the easiest way to explain what God is doing. To accomplish his promises, he lets us have the annual reminder of the holy days. That is his plan. When you hire any work to be done on a house, you must have a plan and promises from the contractor that he will finish the job. Willie, it's no different for you. You promise Baked Alaska. Then you go home and follow your plan and get the fabulous finished result. Then you take them around and you are paid. Well, God will enjoy the payment of many children when the end comes. He makes about 100 of them a week. He has a little circuit of grocery stores. He travels around, takes orders at the end of the week, and comes back then the next week with the specially baked Alaskas for the customers. He then writes back, "Dear Chuck, thank you for your kind mail. I do receive the good newses here continually. I found that there is a person interested in the church. It turned out to be a woman living two houses down the road who receives the good news. Well, I put it in her mailbox. We've had several phone conversations, and I supplied her then with a bunch of booklets and even a new Good News magazine. She is very interested in United Church of God, and I even know her from visits to my brother-in-law's house. She was with the Evangelical Church my brother-in-law operates, but she says that the doctrine doesn't make sense and stopped participating. Her husband seems to be less interested with me. With me, it seems to be the wife is interested. Well, I do receive 25 pieces of the Good News magazine, and it would be good to add 10 copies of the Spanish language one. If that could be done, it would help. Aruba has many Venezuelan and Colombian evangelical groups here where I could leave the magazine. The Good News is truly a blessing to my life, and I certainly will keep the faith. What's more difficult to me is to put it into practice, but I know I must. Well, at least the wine is ready for today's special evening." He was writing this on the day of Passover that evening. "The wine is ready, and I appreciate Christ's sacrifice more than ever. You and God's church have a blessed week of leaving Egypt behind. Your friend, Willie." So I wrote him back. "Hi, Willie, I'm glad you have had contact. Your request for 10 Spanish language editions of the Good News should be coming shortly. I should think you will get something in that regard very soon. So, a lady who you introduced to the Good News magazine, and thereby the truth of the Bible, is interested. Way to go." And I put in 4 exclamation marks. "We had 167 on the first holy day of unleavened bread. And right now, we did have just at exactly 99 for Passover. So we are a large group here, hopefully spiritually healthy too. That is what counts. How is the situation with the refinery and taxes going in Aruba? That sounded like a no-win situation. Take care, CZ." He writes back, "Dear Chuck, how are you? I hope you are fine. This morning I have received the 10 Good News magazines in Spanish you ordered for me." And let's see, that was like 5 days later. They came very fast. "The magazine contains about half the amount of articles the English version does. I will distribute them soon to several small evangelical churches of Latin immigrants here on the island, and a couple to a Jehovah's Witness I know from the Dominican Republic. Also, I supplied a friend named Joel from the Seventh-day Adventists with several magazines and booklets about United Church of God. I gave him the Church Jesus Built and the Fundamental Beliefs booklet. He said he would be very interested in the truth, and I will visit him again shortly. It looks as if we're going slowly but surely. You asked about the economic situation here. It is quite dire. And the government, not unlike others in this, is continuing to look to get loans to pay for everything. The refinery is still closed. There's not much manufacturing, little fishing. Tourism is unfortunately declining. But there is a small infrastructure and renovating going on. Rangestad now has a nicely renovated city center where people can have a free tram ride from the harbor through the main street and back. There are wind turbines and solar panel parks. There's a new ship container harbor, renovation and enlargement of the hospital, and new roads are all in the pipeline. But we don't have a single dollar. As you imagine, Holland is looking very closely now since the Dutch have the last word to say about lending more money. And financial measures and more taxes are implemented right now. I wish you a blessed week, Willie." Now, the problem with taxation there that I asked him about in the refinery goes to the fact that they do have a very good refinery there on the island on the south side. And they take all the oil they can get from Venezuela, which comes in by large tanker, is offloaded into smaller tankers, which brings it into the port, and there it's offloaded into the refinery. And in the refinery, it is then worked on until it gets to the last step before it becomes gasoline. Then it is offloaded again onto the smaller tankers to go to the large tankers, which bring it to America, where it goes through its final distillation process, so we have gasoline. Well, when the oil comes from Venezuela, there's an import tax. When the oil goes from Aruba back to wherever, there's an export tax. So the refinery has been working on this for years because the taxation is eating into all of their profit. There is nothing to make. With the import tax, the export tax, there's nothing left. So they finally just closed the refinery. So it's a real tough situation for the island. I believe that refinery employs at least 1,000 people. And so there's 1,000 people immediately out of work. But he goes about doing what he can with that magazine and the booklets that he has available to him. When I first went to Aruba, there was just a few that we had as a handful for a Bible study. I had then one the next day, and I think it was 13. I went back again, and it was 17, 18, 19. And that's about the time that I asked Mr. Burkle or Dr. Burkle to go there and help me, because Curacao is the neighboring island, and he knows those people. He knows their culture and so forth. And he had some studies and so forth there with them too, Sabbaths. But then the Seventh-day Adventist pastor, where most of them were coming to us from that church, decided that it was time to call an end to it. And he told anybody attending with United Church of God, I am going to disfellowship you and mark you. Now, they live in a small community. You know, it's one of these very common situations where everybody's related to somebody. That meant that those who came to church would not have any relationship with their family because of being marked. And they're very specific about that. And so it dwindled back down to Willie. And the lady two doors down, I guess. But he goes around with the booklets and the magazines. Could you do that? Could you do that? How would you go about introducing some biblical or church-related explanation or teaching to some person? How would you do this? Some in our congregation have a unique way of explaining almost any truth. And they can do it without rubbing people wrong. Some of us can do nothing but rub people wrong. We bring up anything and we've got our foot in our mouth right away. We can't get it together quite right. It just doesn't seem to go well. And from time to time, we find people attending with us that are newer to us. Now, the seed of the gospel does fall on different types of soil. That's what we find so clear in the Word of God. Some of it's rocky. Some of it's shallow. And some there's the opportunity for deep root. For some, the sun beats down and just withers it away. There's different types of soil. So my question for you, how do you feed truths to an acquaintance or a stranger? How do you do it? How do you do what Willie does? One man on one island. How do you do that? This year, the General Conference of Elders' theme was creating an environment for growth. Creating an environment for growth requires the assistance of God. We must have His power. We must use the Spirit He has given to us. We must use that which was evidence in Acts 1:8. When that opportunity is there, are you able to go through with it? In Ephesians 5, verses 14 through 18, it talks about what we must do with our life. It mentions time. Now, time is an important matter. It is the fourth dimension. Some of us understand that fourth dimension. But I pose some questions to you, rhetorical questions. If Adam didn't come along till the sixth day, how do we know that the evening and morning were the first day? The second, third. How do we know that? Moses went up 40 days and 40 nights. How did he gauge that? We have this marvelous large fish that swallowed Jonah. He was in the belly for 3 days and three nights. Well, he had his citizen quartz on. That's how he knew. Noah was in a boat, and it says that floated for a number of days. And an exact figure is given to us. How did Noah count time? Sealed in a boat without a window to open. He had a talking parrot, didn't he? As I say, rhetorical, thinking about time. Time is a very important matter, but sometimes difficult to put a rope around and harness. But it says in Ephesians 5:14, "Awake, you that are asleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See that you walk very carefully, circumspectly, not as fools, but be very wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." You live in a time where it's chaos, confusion, it's ugly, it hurts. And so you've got to use your time very particularly. "Wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Evidently, the Spirit, and having a spiritual contact, which we discuss more tomorrow, has something to do with redeeming the time. I want to use the analogy mentioned at the conference of a ladder with rungs to illustrate how we could better use our time, our resources, and God's power, His Spirit, in our lives to create an environment for growth. I've crafted a ladder with seven rungs to discuss with you then today. Seven different rungs. About a 6-foot ladder. And some of it you are aware of. And I hope to show you other parts of it and put it all together so that it's a ladder that operates very well for you. The first rung on the ladder I call general contact. When we're proclaiming the gospel through our media efforts, we do what we can to make sure that the content is good and that it's going to be refreshing and interesting to people. That's why we have a changing of temperament sometimes and of the venue in our Beyond Today program. Sometimes we have a group of men in discussion at the end of the program. Sometimes it is without that give and take. We have publications that are very well worded. And a lot of time is spent in editing. So we have some particular media efforts. Here locally, we've been working on our websites. And we have four websites for the four congregations that we're all responsible for here. And maybe you only think you're responsible for Tampa, but you're not. And you're responsible with me for a lot of people. We work together. We're a family. But in those websites, we have contact details. If someone goes to tampa.ucg.org, there's a menu. And then they pull down the menu. One of them is about information, where we are. And it tells them my name, where I meet with you, and at what time on Sabbath. It tells them how to get information from our home office and to order information and booklets. There's a link there to many things. There's a link there to blogs. Blogs is not typically a real current way of communicating. A lot of people do blogs or have done blogs. But they ask us to maintain a blog. And if you go to our website, you can see I've written a few things, some cogent, hopefully cogent, comments about what we're about, to give them a feeling for us. On that website, we could put some of our pictures. We could put pictures of what we look like tomorrow. If we had a good photographer to get a picture of our Pentecost service tomorrow with all these chairs filled in, and all you guys that are over there in the ante room, come on over tomorrow. We'll fill up all the chairs. That would be a good thing to we could put there. If you maybe can write a blog, maybe you like to write, and you've got something you've been wanting to speak to or address, you could write that and send it to me, and I would look it over and edit it. Maybe it's something we could put in there, and I could give you a byline. You always wanted to be famous. And all you boys going to France, you could do that too. I think I put an idea in a head or two over there. But we try to make sure that it's up to date. And various ones of you help with that. We have a Facebook page for our congregation. We try to do various things to make sure that we're an open congregation in that sense. We don't do a perfect job, but we're doing the best we can at this point. Now, Scripture comes to mind in Ephesians 4, verse 15. Ephesians 4, 15. And we'll read on through verse 21. Ephesians 4, 15 through 21. So we're talking about this first rung of the ladder, and we look at it as general contact, then we realize people can just check in on us and see what we're doing via various media, via a website, via our publications. And so that's why we must speak the truth in love, and that we grow up into everything and all things which is the head, even Christ. That we see Christ as the head of the church. For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacts by that which every joint supplies. Excuse me. So we work as a unit. We work together. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. We all have a part to fulfill. There's various things that you can do, or maybe you do. And when we do them, we make increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. When we work together in a lovely way, it should be strengthened. So then we can put on the new man, as it says in forward from 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles or unbelievers walk, in the vanity of their mind. Aren't here for just religious discussion and seeing who knows the most things about the Bible and how many angels can be on the head of a needle. Having an understanding, their understanding darkened, and they're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. We don't want to alienate anyone. Now, it's possible that they be alienated, but we want to make sure we have done our job first. Because of the blindness of their heart. And some hearts are blind. When they see the sign, they walk past. I saw Willie this week. We were here, and Willie and I said hi to each other for a brief moment. He walks past, and that's how he found out about us. I said, Willie, I meant Clinton. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of my friend in Aruba. 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. This is what we learn in Christ, though, if so be that you have heard them and have been taught of him, and the truth is in Jesus. So we try to practice truth. And in that first rung of that ladder, it's important that truth be a standard, that it is a Christ-like truth. So that's the first rung, general contact. General contact with our congregation. The second rung of the ladder is personal contact with the congregation. That's you and me. Sometimes people do come to our services, and they walk in and wonder about our services, and There's then this personal contact that we have. A scripture comes to mind, Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4, the first five verses. And it tells us here that when we have opportunity to be with other people, to do it with wisdom. Masters, Colossians 4, 1. Give unto your servants that which is just and equal, that you also have a master in heaven. So when you have someone that is you have personal contact with, make sure that what you're doing is proper, that it isn't in a ridicule, that you're being giving the proper things. And always continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So when you have personal contact with someone, it's important that you have thankfulness and talk about it to God. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Now, he was a prisoner at this point, but he was still talking about the ways of Christ, but he had to do it with wisdom, he says. I have to be very careful. I have to continue doing this thing with a grace and a very particular thought about what I'm going to say. And that's a difficult thing for some of us. What do you say to someone that's brand new? If you don't know what to say, you probably should say nothing. Three, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So then we must pray about it, that we would have the right thing to say. And we must be then thinking about the right things to say, so I may make it clear as I ought to speak, so that whatever comes out of me will be useful and generate growth. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. And so there it says again, it's important to redeem the time, to use the time properly, because you don't have a lot of opportunities with people. And so this second rung of personal contact with people, you need to be very cogent about what you do talk about. And sometimes we talk about too much, and we might be talking about the wrong topic. And it's best then to just be very careful and ask questions of them. Find out about them before you tell them all about you. Talk to them about where are you from? What have you studied in life? What are you anticipating to be your future? Tell me about your past and your family. Learn about them, and then you'll find something that you can talk to them about. You'll find some common thread with you. Now, we've been going through and, well, completed a study in the book of Ruth. Have you ever thought about what it was Naomi did so that Ruth said, I want to go with you. I want to have you as my mentor. I want to go where you go. I want to find your way as best I can. Where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die. That's what I want to do. What happened in all those years? The Ruth said, well, you know, Naomi, I think I want to just leave Moab. I want to go with you. I want to get rid of this waving my hands in the air and bowing down to the goddess of Moab. You don't do that. And yet you seem like you're a good person. Well, I want to go with you. What's different about you? And I don't think she had all the answers before she went, because when we read through Ruth didn't know that she shouldn't go out and glean with the guys. She learned that she should be gleaning with the women only after instruction. She didn't know how to make it clear to this man Boaz that she was willing to be his wife and to be under him and to find herself in a relationship with him in a proper way. And she only found out about that when Naomi said, well, you go pick up the blanket that's covering his feet, lay down crossways, and then that will be a signal to him what your attitude is. She didn't know that. So she learned as she went. And so when people come to you, that personal contact is quite a responsibility. And you do yourself a favor by finding out about them first before you tell them everything about you. They're not too interested in you at this point. They don't know who you are, but they do know who they are. So then we come to the third rung of the ladder. If the first two have gone fine and they found out about you and us, they come to the door or to your desk at work, or they see you every so often at the grocery store or wherever it be, there finally becomes this third rung of interpersonal relationships, interpersonal contact. And that's when you really get to know each other a little bit more, when you can start then talking about things that would be helpful to them. And again, they probably don't want to know about you. You're important, that's for sure. Many of you have gone to a high school prom, right? Anybody remember going to that high school prom? Oh, yeah. Remember dancing, guys? You girls, remember when your feet got stepped on? Well, I had to go to a school dance, too. And I had to prepare for that. I had not dressed other than a coat and tie. But I was going to have to go down and rent a tux. And I couldn't see the value in that. And I give them money to wear a suit for a night, and then I give them back the suit, but they keep the money. That just didn't make sense. They should give me something back. I took good care of it. But I had to go rent a tux. I had to learn how to dress. And I had to learn a few other things. Guys, you remember when you learned how to foxtrot? You know? The little square. Remember the little square? And you didn't hold them too close. You weren't supposed to anyhow. And the other hand was up here. You didn't squeeze it. And you only looked them in the eye. You didn't look anywhere else. Remember that, guys? You learned how to dance. Now, when it came time for me to get ready for this dance, dancing, you know, that kind of formal dancing wasn't something I'd spend much time with. And no one else had either, so Carol Neff decided she would have a dance on her driveway on a Saturday evening. And so her dad, Leroy Neff, arranged it. And he arranged it in the most particular way. He talked to Dr. Lochner, our principal. And Dr. Lochner said, all you guys are going to go. And we knew that meant if we didn't go when we got back to school, we'd be doing laps and miles. So we did what Dr. Lochner had left the impression with the Neffs that we would do. So all the guys and all the girls were there. A fairly balanced number. But you couldn't dance with the same one in a row twice. You had to move around. So they introduced us to this little thing called a dance card. And that was funny, funny, funny. But I had to practice congeniality. How to get along with the girls. Now, Joy was in my mind at this time, but she wasn't around, so had to do with what I had. But I learned how to dance. I learned how to be congenial. I learned how to not step on toes. I learned how to keep my tux looking sharp. And I did all these things. And so my interpersonal relationship was strong. And I learned then the manners that we must live by. And so it is when you have your interpersonal relationship, when someone does finally say, I want to talk with you, or you engage them in a conversation and they do talk, there's things that you talk about and there's things that you don't talk about. You have to make a studied impression with them that you are a person of manners and decorum. That you have a certain modesty about you. This is important. As long as we're in Colossians, let's look at chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. There's just a few things you do in life that require this kind of activity. And so we need to be sure that what we discuss is like seasoning with salt. You just put a little on. And for some of us, the little is very, very little. Some of you are very careful about how much salt you put on. You have to be. I'm one of the lucky ones. My body seems to want salt, so I can put salt, salt, salt so far. But I have to be very careful. And it is the fact that we need to be careful with the words and the topics that we spend time with. When we're talking with someone in an interpersonal contact, you spend time trying to be very measured in your words. And that might be the most difficult thing that you find in life, to be measured in your words. Proverbs has a lot to say about the topic, and you could make a study of that yourself, I'm sure. But speak carefully. And there is a way then is you learn how you should answer someone. And there are times when you say, I just don't know the answer. Don't fake that you know it all. I have to go home and do some research too. Willie sent me another letter this week with two questions I don't know the answers to. So I'm got to put my nose in the book and find the answer. Let Willie know the answer. So in these first three rungs of the ladder, there's things that we should look to do. We should look to see there's a general understanding of who we are that's high and mighty and good. That if we were to talk to someone or they come in, that there's a certain thing about the way we handle them that is proper and high-minded. And we set a good example. And then the interpersonal relationship comes along. And there we measure our words and we talk very carefully. And the fourth rung of the ladder is spiritual contact. Spiritual contact has a lot to do with God's Holy Spirit, which we find pictured on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was given to mankind then. In our lives, as far as the covenant topic goes, we are at the time when God's Spirit is being given to mankind. And some people receive that Spirit. And it should be then used and strengthened in us. Now remember how Peter and John in Acts chapter 4 were facing some questions about what should we do, and they were in jail. And everybody prayed for them and they came out of the jail. Prayer is an important matter. And so when it comes to these things, spend some time praying about how you will do these things. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 is a very important verse. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit. It knows the difference. and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. By prayer and the Word of God that you look at, when you look at this Word of God, it will help you to understand what is exactly right and what is exactly wrong. It will help you discern the issues of life. Now, discernment comes from God, reading His Word by prayer. It isn't something that just because you have years or that because you've read a lot, that's all going to work together. It takes prayer and sometimes a very particular kind of prayer so that you have discernment. Spiritual discernment isn't easily come by. And we sometimes are void of that, and we need to improve on that by asking God in our lives of prayer for the kind of instruction we need. Some of us don't have the kind of discernment that we should have. We don't know when not to talk. We don't know what not to talk about. We don't know these things. Now, in one of the congregations that I've pastored, there's a lady, a very unusual lady, who worked in a care center. And in her care, she could give a lot of people the assistance of health, so their health would be better and their wounds would be healed and so forth. But because she prayed to God every day and asked for spiritual discernment, she could discern spirits, evil spirits. And when someone would come to the facility who was antagonistic, unruly, vile, ask her to come down, because God was with her and the angels. Now, I don't think the rest of the staff recognized this as well as they could have. But when she came into the room, the person's attitude would change completely. Because whatever negative feeling was in that person would be changed by the fact that there was a spiritual presence, the presence of God with her via the angels. And that would be respected and the situation would become very calm. It's a most unusual situation, but it showed me that spiritual discernment can be had if a person puts their mind to it. Now, on all of these, there's something that you can do. Now, I want to go through the next three rungs of the ladder on things that you cannot do. The fifth rung of the ladder is calling. You cannot call someone. Well, you can on the phone. But you cannot affect the spiritual calling of another person. And that's where we get a little irritated, because you know we've done this and this and this, and they should be, you know, answering the call. In Romans, the first chapter, the first little bit of Romans, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, calling is discussed. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle separated from the gospel unto the gospel of the Lord. He was called to do that work, which had been promised beforehand by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. And by this Spirit you received grace and apostleship, and he has obedience of the faith among the nations for his name. Among whom are you also, the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, grace, beloved of God, called to be saints, Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are called to be saints is God's calling. And what they do with that calling is their decision. And not everybody will answer the call. The phone rings, they may not pick it up. They may pick it up and then they don't quite like what they hear and they clank it back down. So realize there's some things you can do. You can have general contact with people, you can have personal contact, and then finally interpersonal contact, and you can pray about things and learn how to say things in a cogent way. But as to calling them, you cannot do that. There's many scriptures on this topic. So that's the fifth rung of the ladder, calling, and that is God's duty. The sixth rung is repentance. Now, you can affect your own repentance, but you cannot affect the repentance in another person. Matthew chapter 3, verse 8 says, "By the fruits you shall know them." Matthew 3, verse 8. You can't bear fruit for some other person. They can only bear their own fruit. Just as you've only borne your own fruit. And this really, it's hard to sometimes understand that you've worked with someone, you've seen them, but they just don't, quote, come along. But it has a lot to do with understanding some things only God can do. And what we can do is probably pretty small when you look at it. There's things such as calling and repentance that are majestic and wonderful and beyond any physical contact. It's contact from God and Him working with them and their desire to show good fruit. So that sixth rung is repentance. And the second, or the last rung, seventh, is conversion. In Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, it talks about repentance, which is the sixth rung. Repent you, therefore, and be converted. Repentance leads to conversion. That your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. To be refreshed with the Spirit of God recalls, as I go through point six, repentance, and now seven, that conversion, that change, is something that is heavenly. It comes from the presence of the Lord. He will send Jesus Christ, which was before preached to you. Now Christ is in heaven, and he must receive him until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. Very similar thought there from the first chapter of Romans. Repentance and conversion, these last two, all three of them, thinking of calling as well, require intervention from God. And you can't grow the church without God growing His church. You can do what is right by example, by what you say, by how you intervene in your conversations, by the way that you learn to dance. You learn how to dance around topics, learn how to answer topics, learn how to not to step on their toes, learn how to hold them. You can do a lot of things and you can pray about those things. But you cannot affect the growth of the congregation. That's something that God alone does. So in conclusion, I just remind you of my friend Willie Nash. And I don't know, he might be tuned in too. I didn't ask your permission, Willie, but I've been reading your email. You know, he's got something he can do. He can put a good news in a mailbox. You can take your good news, last edition, scratch out your name, and when you go to some professional office, you can leave it there on the desk of reading material. You can take it to work in a big place and just leave a copy around. You can get a subscription in your mate's name as well as yours. You got two copies to work with. You can see what happens. You can go through various booklets that you've got extras of and do things with that. There's things that you can do, but you cannot call, you cannot make repentance occur, you cannot convert people. Now, there is, though, these things that we can do. While we can't do it all, we can do our part. So I ask you to investigate. Are you doing your part? Are you doing your part?